Welcome to another edition of Giants Online here on Giants.com as we get set to take a look at the Giants Thursday night showdown against the Carolina Panthers. Joining me as always, my co-host, Pat Hamlin. Senior Vice President of Communication. What's up, buddy?
That was such a quick turnaround, you couldn't get a tie on, huh?
Fast turnaround, yeah, you know.
Let's go play a game.
Well, you're going to have to play a game on Thursday.
Yeah.
Anthony Fucilli joins us here on the program. You know, recovered from Greg Schiano's loss on Sunday?
You know, I said Giants by seven, but I never expected that roller coaster of a game, Bobby. It was interesting. But a win is a win, right, Mr. Hanlon? A win is a win.
Meanwhile, we have Om Young-Mixuk, who joins us here on the program as well. And Om, Eli Manning, in Eli, the Giants trust. Despite playing one of his worst halves in a long time, never flustered, and away we go. Zips apart the Tampa Bay Bucs defense.
Well, first I want to say this is my first show with Fooch, and I'm not going to kneel down against you because I don't trust you on a kneel down.
Do a Tebow.
But Eli, absolutely amazing. I mean, he starts off that first half with three picks, and you're like, it looks a little bit like the 2010 Eli, but you kind of had this feeling that the 2011 Eli was going to be there to do another fourth quarter comeback, but 510 yards. I mean, I couldn't even believe it when I looked at the numbers afterwards. Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz step up like the big playmakers they are, and you know, I just think with the Giants, they got to get off to a faster start. That's my concern with them. And then, obviously, the defense still has some issues from last year.
But, they haven't been getting off to a fast start. I mean, it's Captain Eli back, you know, again, he does this every week. I mean, they did it seven times last year? It seems like this is his M.O. The team, you know, sputters, and then Eli saves his best for last. And I tell you what, cool, calm, confident, he's incredible. And I still think he's underrated.
Listen. I know this subject has been beaten like a horse.
Here we go. You
know, I'm just saying, last week you did an awfully nice job of giving us a scouting report on Greg Schiano.
Well, if you guys would have read your scouting
report. An awfully nice job of giving us a scouting report on Schiano, but you left something out. You left something out.
He had 67 times to do it.
Well, here's the point. Here's
he averaged
point.
Six losses a year in college.
Here's the point.
Go ahead.
Your coach came out and
this
said.
This is quick.
And I never disagree.
By the way, this is a quick conversation.
And I never disagree with your head coach. Obviously, he's got two Super Bowl rings. All right, but here's the point. He came out during the week and said that they've scouted Rutgers all the games last year. Well, he would have saw he did it twice last year, and it worked against North Carolina. So that's not a surprise. Number two, okay, when you come out of the huddle, okay, and you see the other team in an attack formation, hello? Somebody better protect the quarterback.
Let me tell you something. What? First of all, thank goodness nobody got hurt on that play. A meaningless play.
It's not meaningless. Not one possession.
Here's the other thing. This is a point that's kind of gotten lost in all the rhetoric this week.
A lot of it got lost.
There's a big difference between coming out and forcefully trying to get a push on the offensive line to try to create a
disrupt the fumble. Right.
There's a big difference between that and your defensive lineman submarining at the offensive lineman's knees and also, at the same time, submarining towards the quarterback's knees. There's a huge difference.
Again,
one is cheap and chicken, you know what, right? And the other one is good, hard football. And if you want to establish a tough mentality with your football team, you better do it in the first 59 minutes, 55 seconds, and not the last 5 seconds of the game.
I think he was trying to pull a rabbit out of the hat. Here's a man who grew up 10 minutes from the miracle
of
the Meadowlands when that fumble occurred. And I really think
that was a handoff.
It was a handoff.
And it changed the way football was played in the last second.
His guys could have gotten hurt, and our guys could have gotten hurt, and our franchise quarterback could have gotten hurt, and it would have been inexcusable.
Why are you not playing till the last second? And here's my only point, Om. If it worked, you'd be writing, it was an unbelievable play.
Yeah, but if Eli Manning had gotten hurt in that play too, what would we be writing? It would be, Schiano was lucky that nobody got hurt on that play.
Let me ask you something. One of his things was, we play every second of the game to the last snap, to the whistle, to the end of the game.
Which the NFL said is correct.
Right. Why didn't he do it at the end of the
first half?
Well, ball was on the Giants' 8-yard line with 2 seconds to go. A fumble in that situation could have actually resulted in a score, because then Tampa could have maybe recovered it in the end zone. It gets batted for a touchdown. Why did he allow the Giants to take a knee there?
I think it was a desperation, element of surprise, trying to take a rabbit out of the hat.
You just said it was no surprise.
It was no surprise to me because I've seen him do it in the past.
No, you just said that our offensive players shouldn't be surprised by the way the defense was aligned.
It was a surprise to your team because everybody was looking around at their family in the stands ready to go home.
It wasn't a surprise.
They should have been prepared for the play.
And the quarterback was walking up to the line of scrimmage telling everybody on the field, we're kneeling down, all right? That is chicken.
And his players.
They threw him under the bus.
They apologized. That's all you need to know.
That's the one thing I was going to say. You know, his players come out and just openly tell the Giants, you know what?
Our coach made us do it.
Right. And then they said it in the media after the game, too. So that, to me, you know, is not really
If it's a
two-score game, I totally agree with you. But not if you recover the ball the other way. The Giants were giving up big plays. One pass up in the air, you never know, bounces off a player's helmet into a receiver for Tampa Bay. I mean, I'm just saying.
In the million years that the NFL's been around, this is like the first time this has ever happened.
Now you'll see teams prepared for it at the end of games, like we did last night.
This is these people's livelihoods on both sides of the ball. Thank goodness nobody got hurt.
And they're going to have to worry about retribution.
Absolutely.
Other teams now, when they try to do that. We're going to take a timeout when
we
come back.
We talked about that a lot longer.
We're going to focus in on some of the things that happened with the Giants in that victory, and we're going to answer some of your questions via Twitter as well as we return to Giants Online after this.
New season, new year, new chance. Let's go.
No challenge too difficult.
No sacrifice or self-denial too great. Team first. Team last. Team always.
Back here on Giants Online as we get you set for the Giants and the Carolina Panthers on Thursday night in Carolina. So we take questions via Twitter at Giants, hashtag chat. I got a question here. It comes from Scranton, PA for you, Om. Why are the front four not getting any pressure on the quarterback?
Wow, that's a great question. I think Jason Pierre-Paul, I don't think it's for a lack of effort, that's for sure. I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul has done everything he can to get to the quarterback. I think with Justin Tuck and O.C. Uminyora, that's the one that a little bit I'm scratching my head at, because I would expect it
by now. Did O.C. play against Tampa?
Wow. After two games, you know, for them not to have any sacks is really baffling to me.
Look, the ball's coming out quicker, obviously.
That is one thing.
You should be able to beat your man every now and then, especially O.C., to get to the quarterback. I agree with you with JPP. But the ball is coming out a little quicker.
Well, the question was any pressure, correct?
Correct.
The pressure from game one to game two
was a little better.
Improved.
Was
improved.
A little better.
The lack of discipline in terms of rush lanes in game one was obvious. That got much better, but you just said it. You know, Josh Freeman wasn't holding on to that ball very long. He was getting rid of it.
I'm sure Mike Sullivan had something to do with that.
Absolutely.
I just think opposing offenses now know, look, we got to be aware of these guys. These guys can change the game, especially O.C. Uminyora. And I think they're double-teaming Jason Pierre-Paul at times. And so if a quarterback is getting the ball out of his hands in 2 or 3 seconds, as you said, Fooch, how are these guys going to get to the quarterback?
And I got a newsflash for you. If your weakness right now is coverage, why wouldn't the ball leave your hands quickly? Why would you wait back there for the giant rush? So my point is, as the coverage gets better down the road, that'll help out. You'll get those coverage sacks.
All right, I got another question here from Charlie Time One. Have we caught lightning in a bottle with Andre Brown?
No, I think that I think the Giants are high on Andre Brown. I remember Andre Brown with North Carolina State before the injury. I think he is a very good, tough running back that can play on this level, who's obviously had some injuries, and now he's starting to get healthy.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing out of him is why, if you remember, Tom Coughlin was so excited in that first training camp about this kid that they took in the fourth round. And then he hurt his Achilles. He looks like he's gotten bigger physically, but I think we're starting to see some of the things that excited him. A fourth-round draft pick's not a throwaway pick.
No.
And in this camp, Gerald Ingram kept saying, the running back's coach, this guy reminds me of Derek Ward. He can catch out of the backfield. He can run with power. He can move. And I think that's why they ultimately kept him over DJ Ware.
Well, when he was coming out, remember, that was his biggest attribute, his ability to catch the ball. You know, he was seen as a third down back. And as you just said, he's gotten bigger and stronger. And he's, unfortunately for him, but fortunately for us, he's had plenty of time to learn the game. And he showed.
And that's the big key. I think he needed to learn an offense finally after being around what he'd been waived 7 times, being on everybody's practice squad. He needed to learn the offense. I think he needed to mature a little bit probably. And he needed an opportunity. And he needed to be able to show the coaching staff that he could protect Eli Manning.
The thing I like is gives you a little thunder in your lineup because you have a lot of lightning. And I think, you lose Jacobs. He's not Jacobs. But he gives you a little toughness between the tackles.
No, and you saw it the other day, too. He doesn't waste any time getting north and south.
Right.
He caught the ball, boom, he turned right upfield.
In your backfield.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to bring you more of Giants Online and focus in on some of the other components of this football team as they get ready to play their third game of the season in Carolina Thursday night.
Hi, I'm Tom Coughlin, head coach of the New York Giants. Watching your child suffer from cancer is almost unimaginable, but it is very real for many families. The J Fund can't make the pain go away, but it can help in so many ways. We are providing financial and emotional aid for more families in the New York, New Jersey area each year.
When it was real bad, they stepped up financially. Words can't even describe what these people have done for us.
For more information, call the number here or visit us at tcjfund.org.
Back here on Giants Online, here on Giants.com, Bob Popple along with Pat Hanlon. All right, Thursday night, it's the Giants and the Carolina Panthers. A whole different set of problems for this defense with
right.
Cam Newton and his ability to run the football. What are some of the things that you think the Giants are going to try to do to sort of curtail that?
Wow. Well, I think number one, if they can get Keith Rivers on the field, that will help. I think having a quick linebacker out there with Michael Boley to run down these guys, because they not only have to worry about Cam Newton, they got to worry about D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart. All these guys can run.
And Steve Smith over the pop. This
is great for the Giants, I think, because Cam Newton, even though he's different than Michael Vick, will help them prepare for Michael Vick that following week. This is the way the Giants, a lot of the opponents in the NFL are now. They got a quarterback that is a dual-threat quarterback who can fake a handoff and run at any point. He is big. He is strong. He's got receivers now, not just Steve Smith, but Brandon LaFell, I think, is averaging like 17 yards of reception. And the Giants' corners are going to have to find a way to cover those two guys.
I think the interesting thing is you got to stop the run first, because if you get into short yardage situations against Cam, he has a lot of options. And, Bob, it's almost like college football. I mean, they put him back there in a pistol, and he's running the football. I mean, it's a wildcat with a quarterback, and he is just setting up and just checking out where he's going to run, and he's getting 4 or 5, and he can get even more than that.
I think one of the things, just looking at them on coaches' tape and watching what Tampa did and what New Orleans did at certain times, when he runs that veer option, the Giants are going to have to be disciplined. They can't bite on the fake. Whoever has him needs to level him. If he pitches it, that's somebody else's job.
Yeah.
But they can't bite on that fake. Like, ooh, no, I got to play the pitch. Because the more he gets hit, because there were a couple plays in the game last week where he started getting hit, and that ball was coming out fast. They've got to stay disciplined in their
defense.
It's
almost like you need like a spy on him. But even though he's not the same, Michael Vick doesn't run as much anymore, but I still feel it's the same principle. Remember last year when they played Vic, the Giants kept saying, if Vic's going to run, we got to hit him. We got to hit him and get physical with him.
The thing is,
I think Vic is a little bit
more brittle than Cam. Cam's a bigger player.
But quarterbacks don't like getting hit.
But I understand that. But you know what? And you're right. It's going to be a thing where, not in the first quarter, maybe not in the second quarter, but if you're continuously hitting him by the third and fourth, he'd be getting rid of that ball quickly.
I like the point Ohm brought up about having Rivers, Boley, and Jaquan Williams on the field at the same time. As we've talked about throughout the preseason in the first couple games, with those linebackers, we have not had a quicker, faster linebacker group than those three guys bring. So,
and the other thing that the Giants bring to the table here is they have two exceptionally fast defensive ends. Between O.C. Umanure and Jason Pierre-Paul, as far as speed, they have guys that could actually catch Cam Newton. And so they have a lot of they have rare team speed in their front seven. You always talk about speed on the back end. You don't talk about defensive ends with the speed that they have, but that gives them versatility. And then depending on how they use Kiwanuka, gives them even more foot speed.
But the thing that worries you about Cam is if he's running a little bit and getting some success, then he'll run the play action and Olsen over the middle. Yeah. That becomes wide open. Your linebackers are inching up, and Olsen can do some damage over the middle. Very good pass-catching tight end. And you know all about Steve Smith, obviously, Mr. Hanlon, and what he's done against your team.
He's a hell of a football player. That's what I know. Has been a little banged up, by the way.
Your prediction for the Giants and Panthers on this short week and the challenges that come with that?
Well, the injuries and the short week and going on the road. I just think the Giants lose a three-point game this week.
You know what? I actually think the Giants are going to win by three, and I think the short week, I know it doesn't help with their injuries, but I think they're able to carry their momentum over. I think they like playing on the road at times. It gets them more focused. This is a good opponent, and it's also a marquee quarterback that they're playing against. I think the Giants are going to win this one.
Yeah, it kind of fits into the Giants' profile. Short week, everything's going against them.
How's your neck?
Newton, it's a little stiff.
Always think the opposite.
Newton's coming off a big game.
When did the Giants become a college team? They play on Wednesdays, Thursdays. They
got
any Saturday games?
Don't start.
It is what it is. You just play them when they tell you to show up.
Because we enjoy our football, everybody. Now, don't we?
That wraps it up. For Pat and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Make sure you join us every week here on Giants.com for another edition of Giants Online.